Well, some folks have gotten some mileage out of my stories from last week. Not too bad. Nothing I can't handle. So last week we were talking about Jacob and a reset that took place in his life right before he faced what he considered to be rather a critical confrontation. And essentially what happened was there was a clash between where he knew God was telling him to go and what he knew he had to face that lay in his past. And if he was going to go where God told him to go, he was going to have to face that. And that thing had a name, and that thing was his brother, Esau. So we talked about the night before. And yes, I'm recapping a tad so we can kind of jump back in where we were. And essentially, the night before, God decided to engage Jacob where he was. He was all alone. It was just he and God. And we, in looking at the story, you know, we've looked at the dynamics of that, and we've decided that Jacob considered this unnamed man to be God. And so, therefore, we are also going to interpret that unnamed man as God. It may be a Old Testament visitation of Jesus, which would be consistent because there's other places in Scripture in the Old Testament. You know, Daniel, whenever the Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego were in the on the fiery furnace, and there's another person there. We see Jesus in that. So this may be one of those kinds of opportunities where we see Jesus revealing Himself in the Old Testament as well. And in this wrestling match, we talked about the fact that Jacob would not let the man go. That the man touched his hip, and even though Jacob was injured, that he would not let the man go. And then the man said, you know, let me go. It's daybreak. And I don't know if there's anything significant with the daybreak thing, but, you know, maybe there is. Maybe there's not. I don't know. But Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And the way that the unnamed man, God, blessed him was what? How did he bless him? He changed his name. Changed his name from Jacob, which was heel grabber, usurper, trickster, to Israel, who was one who wrestles with God and wins, essentially. One who victors with God. So we're going to look at the story. We're going to pick up at that point where the name change takes place. So again, what we just summarized, if you look at verse 29, Jacob said, please tell me your name. And this unnamed person replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Which is very consistent with any of the Old Testament personalities. Because they knew if they saw God, they were dead. Because they had a very healthy theology of what it meant to see God. Because God was holy, and they weren't. And they knew that if you are not holy, and you are in front of the holy God, you're not going to last very long. But yet, here we have Jacob, who not only does he say, I saw him face to face, he could say, I wrestled with him. And I demanded that he bless me, and he did. He changed me. Now, the funny thing is, the name Israel doesn't really have anything to do at this point with what God said his future was. Have you noticed that, technically? But yet, it was something that had to happen. in order for that future to be possible. So, questions. Let's look at some. Did we talk about this a little bit? I know I ran through it. Probably leapfrogged through this quite quickly. What is our new name in Christ? Because the Bible says we have one, right? You ever thought about it? Okay. Okay. Little Christs. Okay. Christians. All right. What? Child of God. Okay. That's what happens to us. Yeah, we're grafted into the family, into the vine. Other names that you and I are described as. Yes, saint. Thank you, Brian. You know what that means? Okay. Holy One. Holy One. There you go. So, you know, that's one that there's a whole lot of people I know that want to say they're a Christian, but they don't want to claim that one because it means they would have to do a whole lot less sinning. Because they would be held to the same standard they hold the preacher to. And they don't want that. Because there's two, didn't you know there's two classes of Christians? There's the real Christians and there's sort of Christians. Of course, that's not biblical. Our new name. Our new name is always, Julie. Sons and daughters. Yes, sons and daughters of God. Yes, Terry. Okay, priests and what? Kings, which means priestesses and queens out there too. Okay, good. We're different. And a lot of times, what we've been born to be is far from what we are. And guess what? Same was true of Jacob. Next question. So what has God prepared, or is He preparing you? How has He prepared? Pardon me, let me ask that again. How has God prepared, or is He preparing you for the plans that He has for you? Change your heart. Thank you, Daniel. Think about it. Think about all those places. And remember what Jacob did. He called the place Peniel. He'd seen God face to face, and he took that rock that he used to put his head on, and he made a stack of stones. And the idea of the stack of stones was that that was going to be the place that he would remember where he wrestled with God. And he lived. So every time anybody would pass that stack, he'd say, remember that? He saw God. My father, he saw God there. He wrestled with Him, and he lived. So, how has God prepared, is He preparing you for the plans that He has for you? How has He done it in the past? How is He doing it now? Where Don started, everything matters. We like to act like, oh, from 9 to 12 today just doesn't matter. What I do from 9 to 12 today has no bearing on the rest of the planet. So what I do from 9 to 12 doesn't really matter. Or for that matter, what I do from 8:55 to 9 o'clock. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Everything matters. If we act like this moment doesn't matter, then we're saying that there's a part of my life that God does not intend to be something that directs me towards the rest of life. Or what He's got for me. And that's not true. What's the next thing? Okay. We always use this hindsight 2020 kind of thing about there's some big thing and this may be the big thing. And when the big thing's done, well, I'm just going to go off and retire and walk into the sunset. Well, the reality is we don't know what the big thing is, or we don't know what the big thing isn't. And we don't know what the next thing is other than what He shows us. So all we can do is be faithful to the next thing. Because if we're not faithful, if we take a moment off, you know, I I've tried to listen to God really hard for the last week. I think I just need to take the next hour off. If we have that attitude, we'll miss it. We're missing it. We don't get it. Because it's a matter of everything is a part of God working with us. Even if it's that we have a past we don't want to deal with, and He's telling us to go forward, and we have to wrestle with it. Everything matters. Even our battles, even our tests, everything matters. Because what happens on the other end of the test is we get a change, a reset, maybe a new name. Does this make sense? Jacobians, yeah. Yeah. You know, the saying we have around here is that God doesn't waste anything. So a good wrestling match, He's not going to waste if we'll engage. All right, look at the next question. So what do we learn here about dealing with the intersection of our past that we kind of don't want to do and God's future for us from what happened to Jacob? Because there's stuff. There's stuff. And we don't even want to call it anything. We don't put a name to it. That's there. And if we haven't dealt with the stuff, it's still got power. And God's telling us to go there. And until we get through that, and we're willing to face that, no matter how much it scares us to death, we can't go where God wants us to go. Do what God wants us to do. All right, you keep thinking about that, because we'll come back and ask it again after we get to the end here. All right, John. So what can we do to remember or memorialize our experiences wrestling with God? Okay, share it. There you go. Good. Pile up a bunch of rocks. Journal it. Okay. Write it down. Okay. All right. There's tons of ways, right? Now, we have to pick the one that is the most productive and purposeful according to God's purpose and plan. We have, you know, some things that God shows us, and when we wrestle with God, it's not time to tell everybody in the world. Maybe two or three people, but not everybody in the world. Some of us need to learn that. And thou shalt not Facebook. Okay? Because not every, you know, whatever you think, okay, everything that goes on in your life does not belong on Facebook. Okay? It just does. There's stuff about you I don't want to know. Especially if you're not doing what you ought to do. You know, don't post a picture in a bar on a Sunday morning. Just doesn't do anything for me. Okay? Yeah. I got you. It works. You know what I'm saying, right? All right. Let's go to the next. All right. So we get to the end here. The end of the story. And Jacob looked up, and there was Esau. Now, I have to tell you this. He did, after he had put everybody on the other side of the river, and he had this wrestling match. The next morning, he does get up, he crosses the river, and he lines everybody up. And guess what? Instead of standing at the back and letting them all go in front of him, he decides he will go to the front. And when he does, this is what happened. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. Oh, goody. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants, and he put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and the children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. And Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given to your servant." How is it different that Jacob led his family to meet Esau? What was going to happen before? He was going to put a buffer between he and his brother. He was going to let all them go first. And that way, if he got mad, maybe he wouldn't be as mad whenever he got to him. I don't know. But he didn't do that. I think maybe we could chalk that up to the wrestling match. What was Jacob's attitude as he approached his brother here? We're going to get there. That's a coming. Let's focus on Jacob. What was Jacob's attitude? How do we know what Jacob's attitude was? Humility. Okay. He bowed 7 times. And again, what does that 7 mean usually? Okay, it's a perfection. It's a number. It's a very important biblical number. Okay. 7 is a really good thing. Okay. So he humbled himself, you might say, entirely before his brother as he was going. A different attitude from the trickster, usurper, heel grabber. Because he's wrestled with God. So who do you think, and this is where you're going, okay? Who do you think was really more stuck in the past? Esau or Jacob? What does our sin do to us? Okay? It haunts us, it keeps us back. It keeps us from going where God wants us to go. And what he finds out here is that Esau has gone on, but Jacob never did until that night. Till he wrestled with God and he got through it. And then he did the right thing. And when he did, he found out he was the only one who had been stuck. Now, what does that tell us about the things we ought to deal with in our past? You go to God first, then you go deal with it. And what you'll find is the one who's been affected by it all along, me. Now, if someone else has been affected by it still, when we go get right and we acknowledge and we take responsibility, then we might be able to give them some freedom too. But we have to deal with it. Our culpability. So, what you see here is, not only was Jacob's life reset, he gets the new name, it enables what to happen? What else is reset? Jacob and Esau's relationship gets reset. One happens, then the other. Okay, questions. Why do we fear stuff from our past? I know it's overly simplified, but I'm asking it anyway. We don't know what will happen. We don't think it's going to be good. What else? Even before, you kind of got there, but what's the first thing that in order to resolve that past thing that has to happen a lot of times? Okay, forgiveness. Somebody got to forgive somebody. And in order for somebody to be forgiven, if we're the ones who are the offender type people, we got to fess up to how bad it hurt the other person. And that maybe we meant to do it. Even if it was just a fleeting thought, and we did it in anger, still, I think all that stuff Jacob had stacked away in that closet in the back of his heart that he had to deal with. He was responsible. All the enmity in his family, the fact that his dad and his mom couldn't agree, there was favoritism, it drove a wedge in the family. He and his brother could never get along. Just think about all that. And you got stuff too. And I do too. Sometimes that is true. Other times, there are consequences we just don't want to acknowledge. They're already in effect. They're already spinning out. The ripples have already gone across the pond. And some of them are starting to come back. And sometimes it's because until they start to come back, we don't own up to it. Because when they're coming back, it's not just little ripples anymore. Now it looks more like tidal wave. So what's the best way to deal with stuff from our past? Tommy took the manly way and said, ignore it. Bury it. Go bury it. Yeah. Right? Yes. Amen. Did the same thing with the 12, didn't he? They're not a perfect one in there. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Story's not over yet. Story's not over. All right, next question. So what had to happen in order for Jacob to be ready to move forward? In this case, he had to wrestle with God about it. And in essence, he had to let God win. Ooh, baby. If we are going to let God help us deal with that path so that we can move forward and be the person we want to be, we have to let Him be God. Okay, we can demand, we can beg Him, we can demand that He bless us, that's fine. And how He does it is up to Him. But it is God who defines the terms and the territory. And a lot of times, that's what we struggle with, is we don't want it on God's terms. We talked about, I heard some of you guys talking about that earlier. God's God, I'm not. His terms, not mine. He gets to set them. He's a whole lot more forgiving and a whole lot more gracious than I give Him credit for being. But until I submit to Him and say, Your way, God, I will not experience that. I don't get the reset. Yeah, we got Peter and Cornelius, but we don't have Esau and Jacob. We just get Jacob. Right? It's the one that didn't stay where the stacked rocks was. It's like, yeah, got hurt. It's like, this is where I finally let God win instead of doing it my way. Oh. I can't manipulate God. He has to win. Now, I'm going to jump back to something that Becky said a minute ago, and it's just, forgive me, it's a literary interlude here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? Two books. One is the one that she mentioned, which was Hind's Feet on High Places by Anna Hernard. If you haven't read it, it's an allegory. Okay? It's everything is allegorical. All the names, all the experiences, everything is allegorical. There's another one that's like that. It's written by C.S. Lewis called Pilgrim's Regress. You've heard of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Well, C.S. Lewis wrote Pilgrim's Regress. And essentially, in his story, everything, it's also an allegory. Everything in the story, just like Bunyan, is allegorical. And for this pilgrim, essentially, I'm gonna blow the end of the story for you, so you'll have to see. He finds that where he ends his journey is where he began his journey. There's a reason for that. That I won't tell you. All right, last question on this one. So what do you and I need to do in order to move forward and follow God? That's one of those questions that I'm not really going to ask you to answer, but you know you have to deal with. But there is another slide. So, John, let's go to it. Now, you don't? Really? Thought I had one more. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that, Daniel. Do you see the reset? Or in fact, do you see the series of resets? Okay. You've got Jacob's reset with God, which is necessary for the reset in his relationship with his brother, which is necessary in his reset for the rest of his life. When God tells us to do something, that conflicts with our past or our fears. We're sometimes just our idiosyncrasies, the strange little things in our lives, okay, that make us who we are. It's time to go wrestling. And good things will happen if we will do that, and we will let God win. It won't always feel good, but on the end, we do get blessed, and we can go where God wants us to go and do what God wants us to do. And essentially, we'll become who God wants us to become, and that's even more important than anything we do. Because He will use us if we become who He wants us to become. But it's never how we think. Because God's the one who gets to define that. I agree with that. I concur. But I've got another one for you to think about. Sometimes you and I won't face the things that we're afraid of or the things in our past until we clearly hear God tell us where we have to go. Jacob was not going to go face his brother until he heard God said, if you want to be blessed, you got to go home. And he knew he heard it from God. And he knew God was telling him to go there. And before that, he wasn't going to deal with that. He didn't even think about dealing with that. But when he did, and he wrestled with God about it, and he let God win, he changed, his name changed, his relationships changed, and he was able to live in the future that God had for him, the plans that God had created for him, and was able to bless him. Boy, it would be great if we could walk out of here and say, wasn't that a great lesson? Everything's different. All that stuff in my life is done. But maybe you just need to hear God say, no, you've got to go here. And then you realize He's telling me to go there, but ooh, that means I've got to deal with this. And if He does, it's okay. That's why He's telling you got to go here. It's because He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be reconciled. He wants you to have a reset in your life. All right. I've said it 15 times. So let's pray. Father, we want to hear You. We want to know Your voice. We want to hear it clearly. Lord, help us to understand and accept that that means sometimes when You do give us the direction that we desire, when You give us the leadership that we long for, that sometimes, Lord, You tell us things that then uncover stuff that we've buried deep. Lord, help us to embrace that, to embrace You, to wrestle with You, to let You win, to reset us, and then see how You reset the rest of our lives too. Help us to have that kind of freedom, Lord, because that's the freedom You birthed us for when You let us know Jesus and You sent Your Spirit to live in us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.